morning. Good morning. Happy Easter to you. May I start off by saying to all of you that He is risen. He is risen indeed. I'm so excited that you're here. Thank you for being here today. This is our second Easter service. We had an Easter service last night. I don't know why all those people showed up. I told them Easter wasn't till this morning. But they did, and it was just a really anointed service, and it was just a beautiful experience. And so today, before I just dive into this, I'm going to pray that same thing over you. Today we're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I want it to be more for you and for me than just text in a book. I want it to be more for you and for me than just another holiday that we celebrate. I want it to be something that's impactful and as impactful as it should be. And the only way to let that happen is to really surrender the service today. All of our plans, all of our agendas, anything we might think we want to do or hear or say, and really surrender it all to the Holy Spirit and let Him just have it. And that can be scary, but the resurrection for a lot of people was scary. That can be a little undignified, as I heard someone say, and the resurrection for a lot of people was undignified. And today we're going to talk about that and the power of that and how that's supposed to impact our life. So I'm going to pray for us. We're just going to give it all to God, and then we're going to jump right in. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You so much for this opportunity to talk about You. I thank You for this opportunity to just come before You and talk about this thing that You accomplished, You and You alone, because of Your love for someone like me, because of Your love for people like us. God, I ask that today would not just be an average Easter or an ordinary Easter or even another Easter. I ask that today would be the Easter within our hearts, a resurrected heart, a resurrected life, a renewed relationship with You. God, I surrender any agenda, any plan, anything I think that I may want to see done. Lord, I surrender to You. And I ask that in return, You just take us. God, just take us. We're Your church. We are Your people. We want to go where You want to go. And so, Lord, we just give ourselves to You this morning. We praise You, Father. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, listen, I'm going to start off with a reading. If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew 28. This is the after the Sabbath reading, and it's a very powerful reading. So we're just going to take a minute. We're going to kind of soak into it. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 says this. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. I really enjoy that the angel then sat on it and that they thought it was important enough to write that down. I don't know why, but it's almost like he was up there like, I did that. My whole job was to roll that stone away, and I'm not leaving until somebody recognizes, and then he made sure, write it down. Write down that I rolled that stone away, and he sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then he said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see him. This phrase after the Sabbath that this verse is kind of named after dictates that it was the first day of the week that Jesus was raised from the dead. And the first day of the week in Hebrew culture was Sunday. This is why Christians worship on Sunday and not on Saturday, the Sabbath, the traditional Jewish Sabbath. And it's all because of the resurrection. The resurrection changed everything. The resurrection tore the world apart from before Christ to after Christ. Everything was different because of the resurrection. Matthew Henry said this, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the central event of God's redemptive history. The resurrection is the cornerstone of the Christian faith, and everything that we are and have a hope to be is predicated on its reality. There would be no Christianity, I love that, if there were no resurrection. My friends, it is all about the resurrection because there is no reaching the Father, there is no faith, there is no salvation, and there is certainly no hope without the resurrection. And that's what Easter is about. You know, Chesed, our 8th anniversary is coming up in the fall, but our actual true first service anniversary was Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday and Easter was the very first kind of what we called a soft launch when we started this church 8 years ago these past 2 weeks. We actually grand opened the church in the fall. That's when we were official. And some of the reasons you do soft launches versus grand openings is because when you're starting out things like this, there's bugs you want to work out. Well, my first Easter that I ever preached, I'd never, when you're a youth pastor or an executive pastor, you don't preach these services. Not a lot of people realize that. You can be in ministry for 20 years, but the youth pastor and the executive pastor don't preach Easter, Christmas, Mother's Day, Father's Day. You don't do it. The lead pastor does. And so I'd never done one. And so my very first Easter, I preached the entire thing without ever mentioning Jesus because I was so nervous. People actually said to me, it was a great service. Would have been better with Jesus. And I'm like, you know, that's probably true as I got sick in the bathroom. But I was just so nervous. The reality is that Christians who don't celebrate Easter, it's a lot like preaching without mentioning Jesus. If you don't recognize the power of the resurrection in your life, then you probably don't have much power as a Christian, period. Because all of your power, every bit of your faith power, comes from the resurrection. All of it. There's been a lot of people who've done amazing things. There were other people who did miracles. And they weren't miracles from the power of God. They were miracles from other darker magic. There's been a lot of people who've loved people and brought peace into the world, but there's only one person and only one God who was crucified for me, who died in my place, and then was resurrected back to life. There was only one defeater of debt, and that is my Jesus, your Jesus, our Jesus, and that's why we celebrate Easter. Amen? Amen. It's no surprise that soon after the very first sermon given after the church was founded was focused on the resurrection. Look at Acts 2, 23 through 24. This is Peter speaking. This is what he says. This Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. The very first sermon in the very first after Christ church service was about the resurrection. It's always been about the resurrection. This is when we found our freedom. This is where still today we find our life. Paul preaches it constantly. He preaches the resurrection over and over and over again. Look in the Acts chapter 13, verses 30. It says this. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who were now his witness to the people. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Over and over and over again, our scripture seems to rhythmically almost go back to the resurrection. It echoes over and over and over again this point, not just in the New Testament, in the Old Testament as well, that something is coming, that something is going to happen that will change all humanity for all creation. John on Patmos, as he's writing what is to come, writes in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, he says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, 'Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and Hades.'" My friends, this is simply the greatest message of Scripture. It is the overarching sound the symphony is trying to cause your ears to hear. Jesus offering life through his resurrection. It's what it's all about. All of Scripture plays this song. All of it. If you've been to Chesed at all for a while, and especially you 9 o'clockers, you guys are kind of hardcore Chesed people, so you know where this is going. Scripture's music, it really is. Or should I say music is Scripture. Scripture has a cadence about it and a rhythm about it that continues to bring together the story of Jesus and the story of his resurrection. Throughout Scripture, we often refer to the first Adam as kind of an example of fallen man. The first Adam was created perfect, given free will, given ability to choose and make decisions. He could do, sing, and be whatever he wanted to be. But instead, he chose to be at the center of it all. And so he and his wife Eve, they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they became aware of sin, and they became aware of darkness. They became aware of the reality that they were broken from that point on, and so they were cast out, and that is how we refer to the first Adam. But Scripture teaches us over and over and over again that God has come to echo step by step every single one of these mistakes through the life of Jesus Christ, ultimately climaxing in the story of the resurrection. The first Adam sinned, but Jesus, the last Adam, according to the Bible, atoned for sin. The first Adam fell, but Jesus, the last Adam, was high and lifted up. The first Adam brought condemnation. The last Adam, he brought salvation. The first Adam brought a sin nature, but my friends, the last Adam, he brought a whole new nature. The first Adam made us born sinners, but the last Adam made us born again. That's a good one right there. That might be my favorite one. I stole all these, by the way. I didn't write a single one myself. The first Adam yielded to Satan. The last Adam defeated Satan. The first Adam turned from God in a garden, but the last Adam turned to God in a garden. That one might be my favorite one, too. I can have multiple favorites. It's like you are with your kids. That's how it is with verses. They're all my favorites. First Adam sinned at a tree. The last Adam atoned for sin on a tree. The first Adam brought thorns. The last Adam wore a crown of thorns. The first Adam was naked and unashamed, but the last Adam was stripped naked and bore our shame. The first Adam died as all humans will, but Jesus Christ, the last Adam, overcame death and was resurrected for all humanity to have life. Can you hear it? Can you see the rhythms of God's step-by-step love for you and for me? Every single time darkness took a piece, God stepped in and recovered that lost, stolen chunk of your heart and mind. God has never, ever been more near. He has never, ever been more involved than he was during the resurrection. He has never, ever, ever been more connected and more committed and more aware of the darkness that exists inside humanity than he was when Jesus died upon that cross for us, and he is still living out that song within us right now. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about this natural balance that God continues to bring into our lives that he's offering to us right now, and it says this: if there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first Adam became a living being, but the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man from the earth, a man of dust, the second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Listen to this last phrase. Just as we have been born the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. This is where we get the concept of being born again. We were born of dust like the first Adam, but through the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ, we are born again. Not of dust, but of spirit. We are born again whole, working out our salvation, working out relationship with God day by day within the cadence of his book and his people and his love, every single day recognizing I shouldn't have stepped there, or did you see how well I did that? I hit that note perfectly. I can't believe it. That was so wonderful. Or my goodness, I was flat. I'm surprised my family didn't leave me because of that decision. This is what life is about. It's messy and ugly. And there really is no scorecard. There are simply moments, Easter moments, where you get to decide whether you are going to live out the power of the resurrection over even your greatest secret. even over your greatest habit, or not. This is what it means to be a Christ follower and to be born again, to be a child of God. It means that you have to be a person willing to proclaim that Jesus' death and resurrection were enough to overcome everything in your life that keeps you from dancing. Everything. Because that's what the enemy really wants to do more than anything else, isn't it? He wants to make the stuff in your life bigger and badder and worse than anything God could possibly ever do to overcome or love. And yet Christ said there is nothing that can separate you from him. There is nothing that can keep you from him. And I proved it through the death of my son and through his resurrection. Can you hear it? See, this Easter, I want you to hear it. I want to hear it. I want it to mark me, to change me from the inside out. I want it to be something in my life that's different. Can you hear it? This sound of all scripture together in a beautiful resurrection harmony. How there is a very slow and yet deliberate reversing of humanity's curse through the life and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through all that he did. How he perfectly came into our world and overcame everything in our world that keeps us from him. As I put this message together, I begin to ask myself, as I painted this picture, as I begin to hear, I believe, the song of Easter, if you will, I begin to ask myself, what kind of God would do this? That's too much. See, to really understand the power of the resurrection, you've got to understand your great need for that power. That's why our Good Friday service was so incredibly offensive. I don't know how many of you were there, but you should probably watch it because I got in trouble. A good kind of trouble. Good Friday's troubling. The death of Jesus is troubling. And it's troubling because to really understand the need and power of the resurrection, you really have to understand your own need and powerlessness. That's what you have to sit in, and nobody wants to sit in that. But to really see what Easter is about, you have to really see how desperately you needed what Easter is all about. Did you catch that? To really see what Easter is all about, you first have to desperately see and need how much you need what Easter is all about, which is forgiveness and grace and love. Some of you today, you showed up here to wear a pretty hat. Bummer. Some of you here today, you showed up because it's your second time a year you go to church. Your other one will be at Christmas. You're what we call a creaster. Right? Fair enough. I'll take you. I'm good with creasters. I like creasters. I like people that just show up. But you got to know this is my only 20 minutes with you. So I'm going to tell you something that's perhaps a tiny bit offensive. You live a life so incredibly broken, same kind of life that I live, that for you to find the wholeness you're searching for you to find the completeness that you keep trying to accomplish through new marriages, new businesses, new feats, whatever it is you're trying to do to make yourself whole, you live a life that will never ever find fulfillment without realizing that Jesus Christ and his perfect life is the only sacrifice that could be made for you to find the thing that you're looking for. Amen. And if you can't address that, then you will be like a person in the desert, thirsty forever. Hungry forever. Now, you may not believe me, but you will remember. Because one day, like every person in this room, you'll be close to death. The mortality rate for human beings hovers right around 100%, as far as I know. Give or take Jesus, right? One day you'll be close to death. And I sit with people who are close to death all the time, and they reflect upon these things, especially if it's slow or imminent. And one day when you are close to death, you will think back upon your life, and you will remember perhaps today. And this offensive kid that stood on this stage of your daughter's church or your son's church or your friend's church who said that you would die thirsty. that you would die hungry and that you would die wishing you had done it different. Today is your opportunity not to do that. Today is your opportunity to recognize that it is always and has always been about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who proclaimed and said and has proven that he is first the living water that quenches all thirst and the bread of life that nourishes all souls. This is who we celebrate today, and this is why we celebrate him. But if we just wrap this whole thing up in tradition and Easter bunnies and chocolate, like the world so hopes we will, then we miss the true depth of why God came to sing his love over us. And that's within the reality that our song is broken. My life's song is broken. My life song reflects one of my favorite words. It's this word cacophony. I love it. I use it every time I can. Sometimes I use it in ridiculous places. It doesn't even make sense. Order Starbucks and the lady gave me the wrong one. I'm like, well, this is a cacophony. I'm like, no, it's not. I just wanted to use the word. I apologize. Cacophony is the opposite of symphony. Symphony is when everything's in rhythm and harmony. Symphony is what I see scripture to be and what I believe living a life with God feels like. We live out a symphony with God. It doesn't mean every note is perfect, as I said earlier. It just means that I'm where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be there, and that God's love guides me, teaches me, improves me, strengthens me, convicts me. He shows me when to cry, when to break, when to ask for forgiveness. He shows me when to be still. He shows me when to scream. He shows me when to be angry. He shows me when to be filled with joy. It's him and I, and we're dancing, we're connecting, we're inside this thing bigger than ourselves. Than myself. But I live in a world and I pastor a church full of people like myself that also find themselves filled with cacophony. When you look up the word, one description is the sounds of dishes pouring forth from a turned over cabinet. It's just random crashing and breaking. It's just kind of random. It's noise. And some of it is the same volume as the symphony, which is what most of us just want to attain. I got money. I got a big house. I've been married for 25 years. I can make some noise. But it's not beautiful. It's not purposed. It just happens. Can you imagine if you had a room full of musicians and you just gave them all five dishes and then said, I want you to throw the dishes whenever you want over the next 45 minutes? What is that? That's life lived without the resurrection. That's life lived without Christ. That's what he came to set right. That's what Adam said. I want to orchestrate my own music. I want to be my own maestro. I want to be my own master. I'll decide when we hit the notes. I'll decide when we do what we want. That is fallen man, and fallen man to this day loves to be in charge of his own noise. But it is distracting. And it is broken, and it is painful, and it is sad. Today, you have the opportunity to change that. You have the opportunity to choose something different. In the story of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, there's a little chapter towards the end when Aslan is resurrected from the dead, and his mane has grown back, and he looks beautiful, and even feels or appears to be even a size bigger than he already was. And he comes upon the two girls, and they turn to him and they say, how could this be? We saw the witch kill you. We saw that you were sacrificed. How could this be? And he said, the witch knew of a great magic, but there is a deeper magic still. And she did not know of that magic. And that magic he was referring to was the power of the resurrection, and I think his words were perfectly stated as he looked at those girls, and as I believe right now, and I hope the Holy Spirit engages with you, and he said, through the power of the resurrection, death itself started working backward. This is what God brought. This is why Easter is our day. This is why we're supposed to pull this into our lives and not just make it another holiday service. It's supposed to change us. Because we are all dying. But through the power of the resurrection, our souls actually are living every day a little more. We're coming closer to God, closer to who we are, closer to our purpose. This is one of the reasons I think I'm so fortunate, and I say this a lot around here, I love me some old people. Right? We got a lot of them in our church. Do you know why? Because the kind of people that we've brought here, those people who've experienced life, the kind of people who've, they are the closest to who they're going to be in heaven, right? Than anybody else on the planet if they've lived their life listening to the harmony of God's call. They are the truest version of themselves. They don't care about the stuff I care about. They've lost houses. They've been married for years. They've lost and had experiences, and through every single one of those things, they chose to follow God if they did, and so they are the sweetest version of humanity for me. This is what God wants. As our bodies decay, he wants our spirits to grow, and the only way for that to happen is for us to proclaim the power of the resurrection, that we are to be born again different. Not caught up in what this world says is song, but truly caught up in what this world doesn't know is true. This world, the Bible says, we as Christians are to awaken from. So many people in this room, I believe today, even in this service, you are asleep in your faith. The music of your life is white noise. And God wants you to awaken, and that means you have to listen intently. And yes, it's scary because not every note will be true, but it is of the most value in your life to awaken to your purpose even now. No matter how late in your life you are, no matter how early, you can awaken to the purpose that you are part of this universe that God created, that he loves you, that he believes in you, and that he thinks you are important. But some of you still don't believe me. Because you're 9 o'clockers and you know it all. You've been going to church a long time. I heard this before, boy. I sat under so-and-so. He did a sermon on the power of the resurrection. It was truly biblical. That's all right, because I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. See, the world says that you aren't valuable, but Jesus says you are, and because I love music and because I love what I believe it illustrates for us, I want you to experience that. For me to do that, though, I need to kind of tweak things in our service, so I need a volunteer, somebody that I can borrow. Hopefully, can I borrow you? Yeah? Okay, sure. Hopefully this isn't your very first weekend here. Yeah? Okay. Hi.
Hi.
I want you to imagine, for the sake of illustration, that this young woman here is humanity. And this world that we all live in has told her that because of the decisions she's made, because of the decisions that I've made, that she is not worthy, that she cannot overcome, that she will not accomplish much within her life. And a lot of that's due to her own poor judgment or poor guidance or whatever else the world wants to throw upon you to make it feel like everything is due to you not being a good enough version of you. Then I want you to imagine that this one young woman gets tired, like all of us I hope will in the service, of hearing those lies poured over her life. She's tired of making her own noise. She's tired of being her own maestro. She's tired of trying to be the master of all that she controls and sees. And so she makes a decision, like I hope you make a decision, to instead follow the Christ. And she reaches out and she proclaims the truth of his resurrection. Now, you might think that you get to just sit there in that chair and say, yes, Jesus, I'm interested in what you say, and I do believe these verses, and so I'm going to leave here and change, but that's actually not how it works. See, there is no magical prayer. There is no certain thing you can do to be saved. What there is a true and honest exposure of yourself to Christ, and it is incredibly uncomfortable. It's like being pulled out of a crowd of humanity. It's like being set on a stage, exposed before everyone in your life, because they're all going to want to know what has changed about you. It's like sitting with people that God brings into your life, like I am in hers. It's like squaring off with those people. And it's like listening to them through the Holy Spirit say things like this. I believe today, in this room, that God wants me to tell you are forgiven. That your life matters far more than you could ever possibly imagine. That every single step that has brought you on this stage, including me pulling you out of the audience, has all been orchestrated by him. And that he wants to be in complete, total, relational connection with you. And I believe you're free. 100% free to be you. Super awkward, right? And I'm just Danny. Imagine sitting with the Holy Spirit, right? Imagine sitting with God and truly saying, you know what? I'm going to engage in this thing. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go out and sit on the ocean or down by the river or out in a park or in my backyard, and I'm going to sit with God or people that I believe God has sat in my life, and I'm going to say, God, what do you believe over me? What does the sound of my life make? God, what is it that you want me to do with these hands, with these skills, with these gifts that you gave me since I was a child? How do you want me to engage in your world? How can I live within the symphony of your creation because of the resurrection of your son? How can I do that? And it's going to be uncomfortable, every conversation, both with real life people and with the Holy Spirit. But that is how the power of the resurrection works. He sends people around you within the dance that is your life. He sends purpose around you. But you have to stop. You have to raise your hand. You have to come out of the sea of humanity as just another member of this world. And you have to say, God, I want to be with you. I choose you. Will you pray with me? Lord, there are people in this room right now. They are experiencing for the first time in their life an awakening of your truth. They are experiencing, God, for the first time in your life, something more than they have ever experienced before, and it is scaring them to death. Lord, for so many people in this room, that's exactly where you want them to be. You want them to be able to face with open eyes their own mortality, their own brokenness, their own consequences. You want them to realize, God, that all of us are staring death in the face, and that without you and without the power of your resurrection, there simply is no hope for a life lived well. We all, without you, die thirsty and hungry and wishing we had done it different. May this morning, God, not just be another Easter service. May this morning, God, be a call to stare back into the eyes of the one who made me, the one who died for me, the one who was resurrected for me. And may I engage, God, with all the different avenues you want to reach me, whether that is through friends or books or music or preachers or loved ones. May I engage in this life, and may I live from the power of the one who gave it to me.
Is that in me? Slow and sweet, we sway, take the lead, and I will follow. Finally ready now to close my eyes and just believe that you won't lead me where you don't go. When my faith gets tired and my hope seems lost, you spin me round and round and remind me of that song, the one you wrote for me, and we dance. Told to pick up my sword and fight for love. Little did I know the love had won for me. Here in your arms, you steal my heart again. I breathe you in like I've never breathed till now. When my faith gets tired and my hope seems lost, you spin me around and around and remind me of that song, the one you wrote for me. And we danced, oh, we danced, oh.
I don't know your story. I don't know what, as you reflected upon that, you were dancing with. I don't know anything about most of you. But what I do know is that the stuff you've been doing, it's been hollowing you out. If you were really honest and you went to people that loved you, really truly loved you, and you sat with them and you asked them about the things in your life and the choices you've been making, they would tell you, I believe many of you, that you are decaying from the inside out because you are trying to build your own music. We have a God who orchestrates all of this, who says his burden is light, who wants to carry you with you and move inside your addiction and your brokenness and your story. He wants to move inside the things that you think are your worst attributes, and he wants to turn them into your most incredible movements. Everything that you are today, God can work with. Everything that you are today, God already knew about. He's never surprised. He's not ashamed. But he wants you to not just be another face in the crowd. He wants this not to just be another Easter. He wants this to be something that brings life to your soul and movement to your limbs. He wants this to be something that awakens you from the inside out. And I'm telling you something, church, everybody in this area, especially this part of the world, during this season, they are looking for that. They are looking for that light. They are looking for that restoration, and they're trying to find it in more school and more money and more relationship and more stuff, and they continue to flaunt it and show it, but at the end of the day, it will all decay. It will all be gone, and all that will be left is the same thing that you're starting with today, which is you and Jesus. It's you and Jesus. It's always been you and Jesus. And it's time that you just stop running and face that. It's time that you stop being distracted by me or anything else in this life that owns you. And instead, you stand in the midst of the story and you say, God, I know that I'm not enough and I'm tired of not being enough. And I know that you know what steps I need to take to find the balance and the rhythm I'm searching for in my life. There are people in this room right now, you've been following Christ a long time, but my friends, all you do is follow. You never dance. You just trail along and you think it's enough. I'm here to tell you, that's a dead faith. It's a faith, but it's a dead drug faith, and it's sad, and it's not how it's meant to be. There are people in this room right now, you used to have a beautiful faith. But somewhere along the way, somebody or something wrecked that for you, and you sat down. You walked off the stage of your own soul, and you sat down. I believe God is calling you back. I believe, frankly, that he's in the audience with you saying, can we go now? I'm ready. I've built something perfectly for you. Wait till you see what happens next year. Wait till 5 years from now. You have no idea what the next decade's gonna bring. It's gonna be unbelievable if you will just dance with me, if you will just get up out of this audience. These people are dead. This is dead. We're not built to be out here. We're built to be up here. If you can do that, then your life will be changed forever. So I want to give that opportunity. I want everyone's eyes to close, and if you like, heads to bow. If you have never danced with Christ, if you have never accepted him into your life, I just want you to say this very simple prayer, and you can say it in your own words. When I said mine, I said this. I said, God, it's me. It's me, Lord. You've been chasing me for a long time. You've been looking for me for a long time, and I have sat and I have held tightly to my chair, and I have chose not to recognize the power of your love or the power of your resurrection. Lord, I have been running, but today I am tired of running. Today, God, I search, and I yield, and I proclaim that you are my Savior, that you died upon a cross to restore relationship with me, and that, God, I am valuable, and that I am beautiful, and that I am enough. Please come into my life. Please allow me to hear the music of your presence. Teach me the rhythm of your ways and the echoes of your reality. Show me, God, how to appreciate, how to worship, and how to set within the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we awaken every single person in this room to that reality. Whether we've been following our whole lives or whether just now we came to you, may we awaken to the overarching reality that God wants to move within us. He wants to use our lives to express his love and purpose to this world. He wants more than just us sitting in the audience participating in this life. He wants us to experience him fresh and anew. And so, Lord, I pray right now over this place. I pray right now the beautiful name of Jesus over this place would cover every single heart, that there would be an anointing on this room, that people would feel bondage breaking, addictions freeing, that there would be the healing of holiness upon their lives. I pray over this place right now, God, that this would not just be another Easter celebration, that, Lord, this would be an outreaching of people for the first time in some of their lives that are willing to proclaim you holy, proclaim you King, and proclaim you Savior. And may we, Lord, leave this place dancing into your presence, whether it be at work or in our marriages or in our relationships or with our families. May we dance into forgiveness and love and grace and redemption. And may, God, this Easter mark the beginning of something new and big and valuable and worthy. May we worship you, Lord, with our lives. May we praise your holy name, for you and you alone, God. You and you alone are worthy of our song. You and you alone, God, are worthy of our dance. And so I ask, God, for us to be your children, to proclaim with one voice that you are God, that you are holy, and that you alone can teach us the songs of our soul. Will you stand with us now? Let's praise his name.